If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
It's Dave Beck with you on 720 WGN. So astronaut, explorer, and rocket scientist Buzz Aldrin is a world-class American hero. Buzz is a larger-than-life figurehead, best known of a generation of astronauts whose achievements surged in just a few years from first men in space to first men on the moon. Now he pauses to reflect and share what he has learned from the vantage point not only from outer space, but also of time. In his new book, No Dream Is Too High, Buzz reflects on the wisdom, guiding principles, and irreverent anecdotes he's gathered his event-filled life, both in outer space and on Earth, in this inspiring guide to life for the next generation. At age 85, he continues to wield influence as an international advocate of space science and planetary exploration, and we are so honored that Buzz Aldrin is joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Buzz.
Oh, good morning to you. I will try to be as reverent as possible.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Okay. I have to ask you right off the bat, because I find this fascinating. Your mother's maiden name, by fate or coincidence, was Marion Moon.
Well, there are no coincidences, but I don't think my father was particularly directed by inner, outer, whatever, toward my mother. She was just an attractive preacher's daughter in the Philippines. And he happened to be in the Philippines, too. So,
very cool. And your father was a career military man himself.
Pretty much. He started out, of course, as a pretty ambitious Swedish young kid up in New England, and went to Clark University. And his physics professor was Robert Goddard.
Wow.
All right. That was inspirational.
Sure.
So he got his master's degree at Worcester Polytech, then started at MIT. The World War I beckoned a little bit, but a little bit too late. But he changed from the Coast Artillery to the Signal Corps, because that's where they had airplanes. And his doctoral work at MIT was interrupted by his first assignment over to the Philippines as an aide to Billy Mitchell, later General Billy Mitchell, yeah. court-martialed for showing people how to dive bomb to sink battleships, because that was against the rules. But then he participated in many activities, started the Air Corps Engineering School in Dayton, Ohio, that later became the Air Force Institute of Technology that financed my Doctor of Science degree at MIT in manned orbital rendezvous.
So you can see right there where your inspiration obviously came from was your father.
Well, certainly his actions in the achievements in academics applied to a exciting new evolving aeronautical sciences that branched out to become the astronautics department at MIT.
Well, and you first went to West Point, too. You served as a jet fighter pilot in the Korean War yourself, and thank you for your service. You were an aide to the dean at the U.S. Air Force Academy, graduated from Squadron Officer School. You earned your doctor of science degree in astronautics. What got you interested, though, into exploring space?
Well, probably Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon.
That's cool. Yeah.
And all the talk about science fiction and the Martians coming to the U.S. when I was about 8 or 9 years old. That's when that radio program with Orson Welles was on.
Yeah, War of the Worlds, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that excites your curiosity.
Absolutely does.
I don't think they're big snakes or pythons there, but I'll let someone else figure out whether there are canals or whether that's kind of like the moon with craters and mountains and so forth at Mars.
Well, I would say my kids have interest in space exploration a little bit from watching Buzz Lightyear, which from Toy Story is honorably named after you. Where did you get the nickname Buzz from?
Lunar Larry was not a good, wholesome name applied to this spaceman.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided that a more exciting name, maybe.
Okay.
So we looked over the name of real guys, and it became Buzz Lightyear.
That's great. I love that. I love that. Well, you know, back in 66, you selected as an astronaut, Gemini 12, Apollo 11, 1969, alongside Neil Armstrong, almost 50 years ago, you landed on the moon. That still must be, to this day, one of the most incredible experiences of your life. What part of that trip feels like it was yesterday, the most memorable?
I imagine the most memorable is the most important, which wasn't watching out my window while Neil went down the ladder or backing down the ladder myself. It was touching down on the surface of what became the Sea of Tranquility. And we had done just what the president had asked us to do. Send a man to the moon and bring him back safely. Now, that was a good final phrase. We liked that, but we decided, or not we, someone, let's send two people there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look around while we're there. And after landing, let's not only look around, let's get out and go around. So symbolic things become very important. Getting down the ladder and putting your foot on the ground, ooh, that's important. But also urinating in your spacesuit, being the first person to do that.
Right, right.
That's not quite as famous.
I would think it doesn't sound as fun.
You got to give credit where credit is due.
Sure, absolutely.
Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969. It came in peace for all mankind.
Yes, Columbia, the high gain, over.
Columbia, this is Houston.
Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN, and we're talking to Buzz Aldrin about his new book, No Dream Is Too High.
Do you realize that the plans of NASA right now send people to Mars with a rocket thrust called Trans-Mars Injection? Now, we did that at the moon, Translunar Injection, mm-hmm. and it was a free return path. And if anything had gone wrong, we were in a 10-day orbit of the moon. Not so in the plans going to Mars. If you don't get 100% of what you're looking for in that ignition trajectory, you're not getting to Mars. You're not coming back to Earth. There is no free return trajectory. 95%, same. 90, 85, 80%. Can you imagine putting forth a plan that says that we don't have a redundancy to such a critical maneuver like that? Triple redundancy or double redundancy in my cycling mm-hmm. pathways to Mars.
Right, you're Mars cycler. Exactly.
Yeah. Last year's study at Purdue, it would get 18 people to the surface of Mars every 2 years. Now we cut that back to about 8 people. That's 4 in each lander. So we still have a redundant intercept of the cycler as it swings by the Earth. And we have another cycler for the next opportunity. So there are two of these. And its construction is built for a long time, at least I designed it, for a long time durability, 25, 30 years without major. So it's very rugged looking. And I've taken that design, and we can use that in low Earth orbit, in lunar orbit, and going to Mars. So it looks the same, but it's evolving better and better. Hence, my plan is cycling pathways to Mars.
But here we are in a day and age, Buzz, though, that funding for NASA has been just cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. What are the priorities here? I think space exploration has got to be on the top of the list, and right now for this administration, it is not.
The previous administration had a plan called Constellation to go to the moon. But it made some not so wise decisions, and they didn't work out. And so those plans wouldn't be fulfilled. So rather than acknowledge that you don't know how to pick the best administrator, mm-hmm. you just don't give them the funds to do very much.
Right.
Pass the buck to the next guy.
And the next guy or gal.
No, that's sort of what happened.
Yeah.
But somebody has to cancel what's not working. And then we had nothing really, except we put the pieces together that started out as being pieces of the space shuttle. And that was designed in the 1970s. So those are the pieces that make up the big rocket that the government has designed by using Senate strongly recommended. Thou shalt build the rocket out of heritage components. That means old stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that means expensive old stuff, things that wasn't really designed for. And that's what we're living with now, with not Eisenhower's military-industrial complex. Hell, our military is being so underfunded,
right.
It can't do much of anything.
Right.
But there is a corporate lobby Congress complex that feeds itself. More so than the military-industrial complex, at least you'd be safe, yes. And you could deter the other guy from attacking you.
Well, I'll tell you, that's why I think, you know, you left NASA in 71. Your work has never stopped. You've been such an ambassador for the space program and been such an enthusiast for the program and further space exploration and getting to Mars. And you've got to get your ass to Mars shirt where you can get at your Share Space Foundation at sharespace.org, which I absolutely love. I got to get one of those. And your passion for this is so reflective, again, on how you've lived your life and what you've wrote in this book. And this is how we're going to get to Mars with somebody like you that has this vision to get us there. But, I mean, you've always looked at, you know, if you're not getting what you want the first time, keep trying again. Look for opportunities, not obstacles. Always maintain your spirit of adventure. Do what you believe is right, even when others choose otherwise. I mean, that's pretty much how you're building your passion to eventually get to Mars.
Yeah, it's to think. Think of having a conversation with somebody and then just throw something absurd at into the conversation. Well, I found out that that's the definition of comedy.
Yeah. Well,
and I hope that I can pass on some of that lessons learned.
Well, American hero Buzz Aldrin's new book is No Dream Is Too High, Life Lessons from a Man Who Walked on the Moon. His website is buzzaldrin.com, and information we talked about, that Get Your Ass to Mars shirt, you can get those through Buzz's foundation, ShareSpace Foundation, at sharespace.org. What an honor it is to talk to you this morning, Buzz.
Well, it's so nice to talk to you. Refreshing thoughts, minds, as we look forward to changes in our government, changes in our space program.
And I believe we'll get there.
You betcha.
All right. Thanks again, Buzz.
You bet. Thank you a lot.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.